psychic Joseph Jacobs. He's the intuitive. You can track him by his website, of course, 800cself.com. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and our intuitive psychic, internationally known Joseph Jacobs, has counseled thousands and thousands of people since 1982. He has been a consultant for NBC. He has been heard on, well over 900 radio stations, writing columns as well. Always a pleasure. Our dear friend Joseph Jacobs here to celebrate our birthday. Hey, Joseph, welcome.
Thank you, and happy birthday, George.
Thank you.
I know you like to work hard, and so get ready to work even harder this year. you've got a very hard work success year, between June 4th and July 25th, if you need to meet with a corporation or a large business, if you have any ideas on a new book, think about that. If you need to see a dentist or get your eyes examined, June 4th through July 25th is also very good. Be very careful in your financial choices between July 26th and September 15th. You've got to make some financial decisions at that time. And this is not a year to gamble, by the way.
Now you tell me.
Yeah, don't gamble. Now, September 16th through November 6th, I see you having something to do with either schools or propping up and improving the website. It's a highly technological time, and there could be contacts with the entertainment industry next year. You're going to have to deal carefully with labor. Careful with your holiday shopping between November 7th and December 28th. You can sell, promote, create, edit, but be careful of anybody trying to sell you a bill of goods or who you hire and work with. So you've got a really dynamic year, but one of the things underneath it all is forming relationships, forgiveness, and being with your family more. I heard in a previous hour that you're not going to spend too much time in St. Louis, but I think you need to find time for that.
Well, I will take heed, Mr. Jacobs, to everything you say. You know I always do. How have you been?
I've been off and on. This is a tough year. You know, I wasn't afraid of 2012. The only thing I thought, perhaps, was that the Mayans realized in the formation of the calendar that it could be a peak sun activity time. And I kept saying, don't worry about 2012. I've been worried about this year for several years. And, you know, the first thing that I do when I do a reading, I use tools. I use a card system primarily. But I always take a look at the numerology of a person's birthday. And I spend about 5% of my reading on that, maybe less. I'm not a numerologist. I wouldn't charge for a numerological reading. But this is a 7-year. That's different from, for instance, you're a 7 path. That's very different. But a 7-year has a lot to do with health. Of course, you're interested in health. It has a lot to do with water. Of course, you went into the Navy instead of the Air Force.
That's right.
And water, you know, we had, I warned that February was going to be pretty rough. And we had those monster storm. We had more plane delays this year since 9/11. We had 600 people sick on a boat on January 30th. We had 300 people drown in that South Korean ferry. We've had a plane lost in the water. We've had historic flooding in England and in the Balkans. We've had China in a dispute with 7 nations about the China Seas. So it's all around that water problem. We also, on the other end of that, because there's always a positive and a negative, but the other negative is the droughts. I mean, there were demonstrations in Mexico City just a few weeks ago. And, of course, we've got a drought in the works here in California and parts of the Middle West. We've had water polluted in the Mississippi, West Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Portland.
So I've been very worried about that. I've also mentioned health in January and a possibility of epidemics, but also breakthroughs. And so we've had an increase in measles and mumps and MERS, whooping cough, but we've also had a breakthrough and a possible malaria vaccine. So that looks very, very hopeful.
Joseph, you know, as we look ahead over the next year or so, we still have a lot of people uptight, concerned about so many different things. You know, and I've been saying this on the program now for a long, long time. You know, I've never seen road rage at a higher, I'm going to call it an epidemic. It's everywhere. I see it in L.A. I see it in St. Louis. I see it in cities that I go into.
Well, 99% of the people are living check to check.
Yeah, they are.
Week
so they've got
to
be stressed and uptight
that's financial.
About everything.
Yeah, I worked at a corporation which was extremely successful in my 20s, and they were wonderful to the employees, and some of the greatest poker games during work on Friday nights and Saturday nights. Usually one. But when the economy hit at certain times and there were layoffs, everybody ran around like a chicken without a head. And suddenly people changed. People that you had lunch with, people whose homes you visited, things changed. And I think a lot of it has to do with the economy and the manipulation in the economy. By the way, John Hogue mentioned something about World War III. I posted a comment on my website in the blue section, an ad that I saw in a technological magazine some years ago, and it said WW1, World War One; WW2, World War Two; WWW. And so I'm a bit concerned about the kind of crime and the kind of subterranean wars that are going on with our with the web. And I'm concerned about that.
Hacking, 425 million hacks last year, they think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I get a little paranoid. I spend very little time. I mean, I've got a Twitter account. I've got a Facebook account that I rarely go on, and it's just there if I want to make a comment to someone. I can't spend my time glued to technology. I'd rather talk to people anyway. And I keep my camera on my computer's covered, you know, unless I want to use them.
You still doing personals for people?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what I'm good at. You know, that I Googled myself. I Googled myself a couple of years ago, and somebody had a site that said Joseph Jacobs scary predictions. I don't do that. I may do that on Coast to Coast because, you know, I want to look at the worst you can expect on a particular month.
Sure.
But when I read people, I look for the more positive aspects, and if I see any kind of problem, it's how do you want to deal with this? You know, because we're in this lifetime to learn lessons.
I mean, if you see a health issue with somebody, you tell them, don't you?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. But it's how you say it. You know, anyone who scares you is out to con you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I say, you know, it might be very good for a health checkup, you know, during a particular period of time.
Or, even though you may know it's worse than that, right?
Yeah, and sometimes worse is not. You know that there the images that I get and the cards that I see have many meanings. So it's how you approach that. If you approach your life as a student who is constantly refining him or herself to get closer to God. And that's what it's all about. All the lessons that we have, that we've come in this lifetime to learn. And sometimes we learn lessons that were meant for other people, and that's why there's a kind of synchronicity between people connecting. The one thing that I don't understand, the one thing that I really have a problem with, is when you have 300 people drown in an airplane or in a boat. How are they all connected? Because I see a choreography. I see a choreography that was established centuries ago, which still amazes me. And there's room to move in that choreography. But how it happens that 300 people are suddenly, how are they all connected? That's beyond me.
And what's your take on this missing Malaysian Airlines flight 370?
I sense a conflict on that plane, and I also think that it was maneuvered by someone who knew the technology. So it's very possible, not necessarily the pilot or the co-pilot, but someone on the staff who messed around, and there was a struggle, and it got lost in the water, and we may never find it.
You don't think it's on land somewhere?
That was my first suspicion, that it was taken to a place. But I think there was a struggle. And what amazes me is that there were no cell phone records of anybody calling.
No, there's nothing. No, nothing. It's just bizarre. It's like the thing was taken.
Yeah, and I don't know that the Malaysia is as well equipped as the United States is in ferreting out who did what when.
No, that's true. Joseph, give us a quick glimpse of things that you see ahead for this year, maybe next.
Well, you know, September will be a 7 months, so I expect that we're going to see some storms. And I'm sensing an earthquake for California, possibly in July. And
when you say earthquake, I assume you mean a big one.
Well, a fairly big one. What's even scarier for California, even though we're in a drought right now, if we had one of those 10-inch an hour rains here in Los Angeles, we would have as big a disaster as an 8-point earthquake.
Yeah.
With all the destruction that would cause. I mean, you know, California's Los Angelinos can't even drive in a drizzle, you know. But if you had 10, 12 inches the way they have had in England or the Balkans, it could be devastating, even more so than an earthquake. They did a study on that, in fact.
But I
do see the economy continuing. You know, I think a lot more could have been done with the economy and with creating jobs if there wasn't so much stonewalling in Congress. We need to rebuild our infrastructure. It's outrageous.
Do you see any cataclysms on the horizon?
Oh, yeah.
Beyond the earthquakes?
I think September, November. I think we're going to see a number of them. This is a rough year, and so will 2016 be a pretty rough year.
Well, it's going to be a fast year, Joseph. It's going by quickly, isn't it?
Awfully quickly. And it's packed with historical, momentous things. Russia's going to be a problem. China's going to be a problem. I think there's a lot of friction. But I read people. You know, that's...
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? First and foremost... Don't you think people have to make their own island as best as they can before they worry about everything else?
All right, yeah, and security also. You know, I've been wondering lately why people in hurricane and tornado areas. Now, of course, you want to stay in your town. You know, you want to be with your people. But why rebuild the same buildings? They should be building geodesic domes covered with cement,
sure.
You know, dug in about 3 to 6 feet into the ground. if they're going to rebuild.
I guess because geodesic domes don't look nice, right?
Possibly, and, you know, there may be city regulations against anything but a frame house.
Joseph, do you ever get involved in, the perception of extraterrestrial life or anything like that through your psychic abilities?
I live with that. I mean, the only thing I like in science fiction is space stuff. I don't like any of that scary stuff. And I kind of sense that there could be a connection sometime in the next 3 years.
In terms of your abilities, and of course, you know, you've told us how you began studying this through your card system and everything else, taught by an old man on the beach, and you started to learn. What's new with you? Are you continuing to perfect this, or what happens with
it? Well, life is continuously perfecting oneself and perfecting whatever it is that you do and how you do it. And it may be how you deal with people, or how you handle your job. There is a perfection. And by the way, here's something I've never talked about. There are heart people, club people, diamond people, and spade people. Heart people, I don't see auras, but heart people have a glow about them. Club people have a brightness about them. Diamond people sparkle. Even when they're depressed, they sparkle. They have a sparkle about them. And spade people reflect. And spade people like me sometimes get overreactions from people because they are like a mirror and people are seeing themselves, you know. But you might want to observe, you know, I have all the birthdays and cards on my website, but you might want to observe people and how they present themselves in the world.
That's an interesting take, a great perspective. So what's new at 1-800-C-SELF these days?
Well, I keep my website up to date every week. I publish it every Sunday, and I kind of predict, you know, bad weather and when transportation could be a problem, and whether the day is going to be slow. You know, time is not linear. You know, we experience it in a linear way. Our eyes see everything upside down, but the brain straightens it out. And so there are days that are draggy. There are days that move very quickly. So I enjoy doing my website once a week. Yeah.
Good for you, Jim.
It's the most time that I spend on the internet.
Excellent. And how's the cat doing?
The cat has got a few months left, I think.
Ugh.
Yeah.
How old is it?
She's 16.
16. That's pretty good for a cat, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And then she's got some kidney failure, so.
I remember several months ago when you came in to Denver to do Beyond Belief, you had some travel issues because of the cat, right?
Yeah, I did. By the way, Beyond Belief was one of the best experiences of my life. In front of a camera, and you made it so easy, and I was able to really communicate things to you that I'd never communicated before. That was a wonderful experience, and I've had wonderful feedback from that.
Well, we had fun. Joseph, you take care, and again, thanks again for the years and years and years of service for all of us here at Coast to Coast and beyond, okay?
And I appreciate your friendship. Very, very much.
Joseph Jacobs, need to get some more information. His website is just the number 800-CSELF.com. It's linked up, of course, for you at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, director James Fox joins us as we talk about ETs. Indeed, indeed. Hey, a few more Coast to Coast guests popping in during our birthday bash. Spiritualist Sonia Grace with us. Hello, Sonia. How are you?
Hi, George. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just thinking about you all day, and I said a big prayer for you that you'd have excellent health and happiness and prosperity and all that you need in the year to come.
Well, my happiness comes when we can get this planet going the right way again, Sonia.
Absolutely, and that is a daily prayer, believe me. I'm with you on that all the way.
How have you been? What are you up to these days?
Well, I just got back from Las Vegas. I did an interview on the Virtual Light Network, and I've got my new book coming out, Become an Earth Angel. It'll be out August 12th.
Good for you.
And I'm doing a really great meditation retreat in October at Joshua Tree Retreat. And
I'll see you there, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, Sonia, thanks for the birthday wish.
You're welcome. I send you all my love, George. Take care.
You take care as well. And, of course, one of my favorites, one of our dear buddies, heads up the Twilight Brigade. You know, Daniel, I'll have you say it. I'm losing my language tonight.
It's your birthday, and from Catherine and I, happy birthday, George.
Thank you, my friend. What's new with Mr. Brinkley?
Well, the world is evolving very rapidly. You watch the issues that are going on, like Mr. Jacobs was talking about. I mean, here we are in a complete revolution. And so me, you know, I'm knee-deep in the Veterans Affairs. I'm finishing up 10 Things to Know, the new book. We probably have a Showtime, a 10-part Showtime special we're working on. And just life moving forward. You know, 2014 was the year, and what's really fun about this time now, George, is this week 20 years ago Saved by the Light dropped. My book Saved by the Light dropped 20 years ago, and I was think about it, and how many millions and millions and millions of books and how many places in the world that it affected, just like what Coast to Coast does. And so I was looking through all the boxes of knowledge, one of the parts that came from the first near-death experience, and the things that jumped out at me about the issues dealing with water and what was earlier talking about, that a great war will be fought over water. So I started looking at what water is, the drought in California, drought in Texas, Mexico, Central and South America, and realizing, and with us fracking, that we're now poisoning water in all the states you were looking at, and looking at how really crazy we are in 2014, because in 38 years ago, 2014 and 15 would be pivotal years in whether we move ourselves into a war or whether we move ourselves into peace. So watching all of that, it's great that you decided 12 years ago to take up the mantle, after Art decided to do whatever Art decided to do, and that you took up this mantle to keep people being aware and being able to make choices and decisions and to be able to draw from this type of information to look at where their life is, because it's all being manipulated. Look at what's happening, sure, what we are discovering about the Veterans Administration. And it's showing itself more and more and more, and it's because people have you and the kind of effort that the team and your producers put together. So I'm really proud.
Well, my friend, let's stay in touch. You be well. Daniel Brinkley, of course, and I won't rest until I get it out of my mouth. The Twilight Brigade, and he helps a number of soldiers who are facing death, and he does it with an incredible ability. We're going to be back in a moment with film director James Fox as we talk about ETs on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. James Fox with us, of course. Director James Fox, he began a journalism career really early as an assistant to his father, Charles Fox, and together they traveled on many magazine assignments, interviewing such notables as Stephen Hawking, race car legends, you name it, he has done it. And James, always a pleasure. Welcome to the show.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear George. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. What's new? How's the movie 701 coming along?
701 is coming along beautifully, but I have to say also happy birthday. I became a father 2 weeks ago.
Well, congratulations. Good for you. Baby boy or girl?
A little baby boy. Speaking of out-of-this-world experiences, it was just phenomenal. When I was, we were so enthralled when he finally entered into the world at 1:59 a.m., way onto his mother's belly, and we were all just doting over him, over it. After about 5 minutes, I said, well, gosh, don't you think we should check to see what the sex is? We had no idea.
That's funny. And how's the mother? Everybody fine?
Everything is perfect. It couldn't be better. I feel almost a little guilty saying that, but the birth went beautifully. The breast, everything's perfect. Breastfeeding, healthy, happy. It's been lovely.
Excellent. So, hey, I wanted to ask you something, by the way. You know, ever since, you and I were on Larry King's show, and you've been on his show a lot, ever since that program basically on CNN went away with Larry King, have we lost network television exposure to the things that you and so many other hardworking ufologists are trying to do?
It's a good question, and I've thought about that a little bit recently. It seems like there was definitely a surge back in 2006, kind of started with the O'Hare sighting. Then we had the 2007 coming out with the governor, Fife Symington. We all know that story. Then we had, the British government, the French government releasing all those documents. We had show after show on CNN, and boy, it really seemed amazing. That was a beautiful time, and it looked as though we were really seriously pushing for, transparency, government transparency around, and we were getting a lot of momentum. As we all know, Larry King stepped down, and there seems to be a bit of a lull right now. But I think that lull is going to end soon. I really believe. I think 701 is the film that people have been kind of waiting for. It's provided we accomplish what we set out to accomplish, and that's been one of our most tricky aspects of production, is to how do we create something that's very different? How do we put something in theaters? How do we stitch these stories together with a narrative that holds an audience? And that's something that Tracy Torme, who's the script writer for this project, has really, really been thinking hard about. And I think that we have a really good chance with 701.
I met one of your producers, Tony Cataldo, in Eureka Springs, where I was at an event. What a great guy he is.
He said that you sang... what's that thing you sing along?
Karaoke?
Yeah, karaoke. He said, please tell George not to quit his nighttime job.
Thanks. I won't. I love it. We had a good time. It was fun.
No, it sounded like it. We're about to, any listeners out there, we're about to launch our website, which will be completely revamped. It'll have sizzle reels from several of the cases that we're featuring, including the Ruiz Zimbabwe case, the Virginia case, as I think I discussed some of the aspects of that case in 96. The Socorro case, a lot of new evidence there. And we got to interview Kim Arnold, daughter of Kenneth Arnold, the guy who catapulted the flying saucer into the limelight, sort of the modern UFO wave back in 47. So there's a lot of really, really exciting stuff brewing. So I think we'll see what 2014, 2015 brings. You know what I mean?
Yep. Do you still have that $100,000 reward tied into the movie?
We think we found, we think we have what we were looking for. There's a very specific protocol that we have to go along with we're working with a scientist on doing that. And that's going to go in conjunction with the film, so it'll be part of the evidence introduced into the movie, and the analysis and the stages of analysis will all be documented, and that'll also be included in the film. And we'll see. There's a very specific protocol that we promised we would follow exactly, and that's what we're doing. So hopefully it turns out. Cautiously optimistic.
Sure. And just for folks who just say, what's he talking about? It's a $100,000 reward for the best proof that UFOs are real. The material you say could be a photograph, video footage, film footage, or debris from a crash site. And so that's going to be interesting to see what you've come up with.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. It's on a case that everyone's been rather familiar with. And we are actually working on the case. And I was at the National Archives trying to dig up additional information for the United States Air Force Project Blue Book files from 1964 on the Socorro, New Mexico case. We came up with all kinds of incredible documents, some of which I've shared with your audience a couple months back. And that's when this piece of evidence surfaced. So it was kind of amazing, actually. We were uncovering some documentation, some new eyewitness testimony. We went back to the original landing site, and we actually interviewed Lonnie Zamora's wife. And that's when this thing came up. This thing just sort of surfaced completely. We weren't even looking for it. It was somebody reached out to us with it. So yeah, if it turns out to be what we're hoping it is, it would be it'd be phenomenal. And while I've got your listeners out there, one thing we uncovered at the National Archives was reference to a film called Phenomena 7.7, Dr. Strange's produced it. And it was shot in Socorro, New Mexico, about 6 months after the infamous Socorro, New Mexico, Lonnie Zamora UFO landing.
Was that Frank Strange's?
Frank Strange's and a guy named, I think it's Michael Musto. And it was released by Empire Studios, I believe in late 1965. And we have tried everywhere to find this footage because it's the only documentation that occurred right after this very famous sighting. Interviewed all the primary witnesses, the mayor of the town, the fellow police officers, some other eyewitness testimony. And I understand the film's about 92 minutes long, and 40 minutes of that is dedicated to the Lonnie Zamora case, and no one has ever seen it.
So Zamora case, of course, is great.
It's called Phenomena 7.7, and the interesting thing is Dr. Frank Strange has called it that because in 1964 or 65, there were roughly 5,000 cases that the Air Force had investigated, and out of which 7.7 remained unexplained. And we call our film 701 because in 1969, when Project Blue Book was terminated, there were 12,618 cases investigated, out of which 701 remained unexplained.
That's right.
Really interesting the way that thing came out. So if any of your listeners have ever heard of Phenomena 7.7, if you know where we can find it, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, get in touch with us. You can go to the 701, the movie site. Now it's the old version of the site, but you can still contact us there, 701themovie.com.
What drives you with this, James? You don't give up.
Well, I was just asked that question, I'm going to be speaking at MUFON in July. They've got a big in Philadelphia, and that was... Are you going to be there?
I'm not at the Philadelphia event. I was just at a MUFON Congress a couple months ago, though.
They had a little questionnaire and things we had to fill out. It was actually kind of a lot of work, but it was good because I got to sit down and think about why it is that I do what I do. And one of the things was, what drives me? What propels me? What motivates me? And I have to say that, you know, I have to answer that question with a question, and that is, if there was solid evidence being withheld from the general public, from the rest of the world, that Earth was being visited, that we're not alone, something that was give us a much broader view of where we are and how we fit into the universe, then I feel that's just unconscionable, and I feel that we all have a right to know, and I believe it to be absolutely true beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it's a difficult story for me to walk away from.
Well, and that drives you. The very first episode, James? What was the first UFO feeling that got you involved in this?
I don't really like to talk about it, to be honest with you. But
really? Okay, if you don't want to, that's okay.
No, I can. I'll tell you. Because people, I don't want anyone to judge me on, you know, the basis of my belief system on this particular experience. All I can tell you is that it triggered a curiosity, and that was the driving force initially when I started to sort of stick my teeth into the subject. This is over 20 years ago. I had a sighting with a girlfriend of mine, and she said, "What the bleep is that?" It was about maybe midnight, and we're looking out the bedroom window, and something about the height of the top of a telephone pole right out our bedroom window that looked like the shape of an egg, kind of very slowly and quietly suspended, it just kind of floating out our bedroom window and kind of pulsating a little bit. And I never thought of UFOs. I didn't care about UFOs. I had no interest in UFOs. And I said, "I don't know what the heck that thing is, but whatever it is, I get the feeling it knows we're looking at it." And she said, "I feel the same thing. Close the blinds." And so that was my first experience with something. Was it somewhat nebulous? Of course. Can I say definitively what it was or what it wasn't? No, I can't. But that triggered my interest, and that started to get me to look into the phenomena a little bit. And I remember my dad is a mainstream journalist. As you know, we went and interviewed Stephen Hawking and stuff together. And I have actually a funny story if we have time to tell you about my meeting with Stephen Hawking. But my father was desperately trying to talk me out of, "Son, you're wasting your life. Don't go down this road. It's a dead-end road. There's nothing to it."
Please
reconsider. And he had members of the family writing me letters from different parts of the world because our family's kind of sprawled out. And I just remember being a tourist, you know, all right, the hell with you guys. You know, that really, you know, gave me even more, you know, ambition, I guess, to prove them all wrong. But I'll tell you a quick funny story. We went over to interview Stephen Hawking, and, you know, it was a very exciting time. It was right when he finished that book, A Brief History of Time. We all read it. And we get in there, and he has the whole basis of the interview was supposed to be about the fact that he could communicate with the outside world with software that just got developed that enabled him to interact with his computer using one finger. So he could, like, kind of drool a little bit looking out to the side. It doesn't look like he's barely conscious, but he was. And he's clicking away. We asked him about black holes. We couldn't help ourselves. We were there for, like, PC Computer Magazine. We were there to talk to him about the software. And he sat there painlessly, George, I'm not kidding you, which seemed like an hour. Click, 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 click with one thumb. And I thought, my gosh, this is going to take forever. You know, and then the nurse would come in and kind of wipe up some of the drool and get him straightened up in his chair a little bit and click, click. And my father was a quadriplegic with multiple sclerosis. He was in a wheelchair as well. And I remember the time thinking, boy, this guy makes my father look like Carl Lewis. I mean, you know, but and click, 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 click. My gosh, I'm looking at the time thinking, like, this is going to be a long interview. And his response was, "I thought this interview was going to be about computers, not God."
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
James, we've got about a minute left. I want you to tell people, if they want more information on some of the things you do, where they can find you.
Okay, so as I said, we have completely revamped the 701 website. We've been working on it for 4 straight months. We have sizzle reels to share with the world. We have evidence. We have documents. We have tons of amazing material, but it's not going to be released on the new website for another 2 weeks. But the new website in 2 weeks' time will be launched. I promise you, your listeners will be amazed. This is the best UFO website I've ever seen, times 10, and some very compelling stuff. www.701themovie.com. Again, I can't emphasize enough. Check it in 10 to 14 days. But you can look at it now, but it's old, but 10 to 14 days, 701themovie.com. If anybody has any evidence on any of the cases that we're putting forward, please, pretty please, with sugar on top, get in touch with us. And if you've heard of 7.7 Phenomena, 7.7 The Movie, let us know about that, too.
We want that 100,000. Maybe somebody's out there, James, huh?
Hey, thank you so much, George, for having me on. It's been a real pleasure, and happy birthday.
Great, thanks. James Fox. Up next, of course, we're talking dreams with Rosemary Ellen Guiley.